I love playing the guitar. You probably figured that out. I'm sad that Wyatt's not here, but I'm also, it's kind of fun to play again every now and again. But I didn't, I actually learned the guitar in my mid-20s. Who here, like in your adult years, you learned an instrument? Okay, some ukulele players. What instrument did you learn? Guitar. Wonderful. Okay. We'll talk. All right. I don't mean to put you on the spot. I got to tell you the story of how I decided to learn the guitar, because I'd been a keyboard player for some time. My first degree out of high school was at a music college as a vocalist and a keyboard player. And so right after that, after music college, I did a fair amount of travel, recorded a couple of albums, and then I ended up at this wonderful church in Yakima. And we were getting ready to do a summer, like a ministry trip, missions trip. And so I was up in Alaska in some of the same villages where we've been sending teams for the last number of years. And they'd asked me to lead worship at Covenant Bible Camp, which is about 3 miles upriver from Unalaklik. Unalaklik is a village in the Norton Sound area of about 500-600 people, and it's the larger village for the region. And the Bible camp is about 3 miles upriver. So I took my keyboard. This isn't the actual keyboard, but it gives you an example. I took my keyboard and some speakers, and we made the trip. We got them all in the boat, little boat, and a little like 12-foot boat, and went up and got up to the Bible camp. And they're like, "We're so glad to have you here. We're going to be leading worship." I'm like, "Yeah, that's going to be great." And they said, "Well, our generator's out. Is that a problem?" I want to demonstrate for you what an electric keyboard sounds like without electricity. Are you ready? Are you inspired? Me neither. I didn't know what to do. So, 3 days, I'm the worship leader at this place. I'm like, does anybody have a kazoo? I mean, I had no idea what to do other than I came home from that going, I need to learn an instrument that you can play around the campfire. And so in my mid-20s, I had to relearn some things that I thought I knew, because I was a half-decent keyboard player, but I picked up the guitar and I had to learn some of the basics again on the guitar. Like, let's try learning a G major scale. Oh, you're faster than me. You have to learn all this. Thanks, Brian, by the way. See, he's got them all the scales down. But I had to learn all this stuff. Back then, you get like tutorials on DVD. Do you remember those things? Yeah. Kids, you can ask your parents about those. People used to use those. And VHS tape. Uh-huh. And to learn... you start to learn like your position one chords, your G and your C and your D, which kind of looks like a triangle. And you have to, but the point is that in order to play the guitar or any instrument, it really does come down to learning some of these fundamental things. Now, the reason I bring that up is because we're going to be in a 5-week series that really is about some kind of fundamental things. And thank you. Can we give Brian a hand? Oh, it is so fun having him back. I love playing with that man. Now, but you kind of have to learn there's some things with any instrument or with any sport that they feel kind of fundamental, and it can be tempting just because they are so fundamental to just go, oh, that's not very important. Well, we're going to be looking at some of these fundamental habits of Christianity. And so one temptation, of course, is to believe that they're not important. You know, I've been walking with the Lord for many years now. I don't need to think about those things. it's still good to get some review. Who remembers Vince Lombardi, famous football coach? Okay. His most famous speech, every time he'd get people together for training, he'd be talking to a room full of professional football players, and I bet you can finish this quote. Gentlemen, this is a... Thank you. Thank you, Paul. Let's do that again, because we need to educate you, okay? Gentlemen, this is a football. Now, he is talking to a room full of highly paid professional football players. Do you think they not know what a football is? That's not the point, though, is it? The point is that even for the best of teams, it really does come down to fundamentals. So whether that's the fundamentals of music, you learn your chords, you learn your scales, you learn your music theory, whether that's the fundamentals of a sport, like gentlemen, this is a football, or if you're basketball, you learn how to dribble, you learn how to shoot. They're just fundamental things. Well, there are these fundamentals of Christian living, and we're going to look at those. I like to call them the five habits, or five love like Jesus habits. So the first liability with the five love like Jesus habits, you just go, I have heard that one before, and we just blow it off. But here's the thing. So if you're new and you're new in following Jesus, this is going to be super practical. Take lots of notes. If you're stuck in your faith, and all of us have times we get stuck in our faith, it's also going to be really helpful. Because most of the time, the thing that we've gotten stuck on ends up being one of the fundamentals. Or you just find yourself hungry for God, and I hope that this increases. I hope that God is increasing your hunger for Him. It usually comes down to these fundamentals. Chances are, if you've been walking with the Lord for some time over the next 5 weeks, there's going to be some weeks you'd be like, no, I really do have that pretty solid. And that's good. And that's good. But there'll also probably be at least one that you'll go, yeah, I think the Lord's still working with me on that. So I would urge you, if you possibly can, just come to all five, listen to all five, like make a five-week commitment to church. No matter where you are in your walk, there'll be at least one. And if you happen to be, if it's a week that you go like, you know, I knew that, I'm really applying that, some things in your life in that area are probably going fairly well. In which case, what I would urge you to do, number one, is pray. Pray for me as I communicate it. And two, pray for the people around you. And just be actively thinking about, Lord, how can I help? How can I help my neighbor? How can I help my neighbor to with whatever area they might be a little stuck with? Because I've been stuck in those areas too. So the first liability when you're looking at anything that with like Christian habits, or sometimes this is referred to as the spiritual disciplines, the first liability is we just go, that is so basic that I don't even need to worry about it. That's the first liability. No, it's all, the fundamentals are vitally important. The second thing is equally a liability is that we start to make it all about the, you know, practicing the habit or practicing that particular discipline. Because some of us, and I'm pointing at you and three fingers are pointing at me, some of y'all are list makers. You were the good kids in school who wanted to make sure that you checked off every single box. Uh-huh, that's you. I know, and that's me too. And the problem sometimes with those things, when we start talking about spiritual disciplines, I'm like, you need to do this, and you need to do this, it starts to become about the list. And you start to be like, okay, I got that, I got that, I got that, I got that, I got that. And we get so focused on the list that we miss the point. It can be a little bit like, just to jump back to a musical analogy, you're working on learning your scales, and you're so interested in it. I always wished I had more finger speeds. But if I could do these exercises long enough, I can do all the whole like needly, 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 all that cool stuff that I could do that. But here's the thing, is you get really into doing the exercises and you forget that it's not about the exercises, it's about making music. Playing basketball is not about like being in your driveway, dribbling a ball and, you know, trying to make jump shots. It's about actually playing the game. And the spiritual disciplines, while they are valuable and we do need to give them our time and attention, the point of the disciplines is not about getting this perfect checklist and look, I got everything done and now I can move on with my day. The point of the disciplines is to draw near to Jesus. Jesus is the music. Jesus is the game. And he wants us to enjoy him and draw near to him. The disciplines can help us with that. The habits can help us with that, but they're not the point. They're not the point, but they are nonetheless really, really helpful. So today I wanted to give a little bit of time and attention to the thing that is, I would say, probably the most foundational habit, and it's this connect, that we look to connect with God, number one, through God's word, and number two, through God's people. So I want to challenge you and get you thinking about how am I connecting with God through God's word and through God's people. So let's start with God's word and what it means to connect with God through God's word. And what I'm going to be trying to encourage you to do is to develop a habit, if that habit isn't already in place, because maybe for some of you it is, and that's wonderful, a habit of being in God's word on a daily basis and seeking God through his word on a daily basis in some way, shape, or form. Just being with God through God's word. So let's look at a couple of the kind of foundational passages of what the Bible says about itself. Let's start things with Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. And we're picking things up as the devil is trying to tempt Jesus. It's so interesting. Every single temptation and attempt for Jesus, Jesus has just been baptized. He's heard the voice from heaven. He's been affirmed as this is my son who I love. And then he goes off to be tempted. And every single thing the devil tries to get him to do is to get him to exercise his divine authority. And so the devil has just told him, if you are the Son of God, tell these rocks to turn into bread. You could do it. Could he do it? Of course he could do it. Should he? No. And so Jesus gives this brilliant answer. Jesus answers, and he's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8 here. Jesus answered, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So it gives us this powerful metaphor of what the Bible is like. The Bible is like food. It's like food. If we are separated from God's word, we starve. We spiritually starve. Now, it's important to remember that not every person who is hungry feels hungry. Sometimes people are starving and they really cannot feel it, but they're still experiencing the effects of it. I believe we're in a culture that is starving for the word of God. You may not consciously feel the hunger, but you see the effects everywhere. God's word is like food. So if you want to thrive in your faith, somehow or another, you need God's word as part of your diet, so to speak. And just like food has many different flavors, the Bible has many different flavors or different kinds of literature in there, and different kinds of food can be good for different points in life. I love popcorn. Who here loves popcorn? Oh, we just got an air popper, and like, oh, this is awesome. It's easy to make it, and I can make lots of popcorn, and I love it. Popcorn is fantastic, but here's the thing, it's actually not very nutritious. And sometimes that's great because you want like a low-cal snack. Okay, but it's, so there's some times where popcorn is fantastic and other times popcorn's not so great. And similar ways in God's word, all of it is useful for us. And that's what Paul writes to Timothy in his letter, 2 Timothy. All scripture is God-breathed and what's the word? Useful. All of it is useful. Now, there's different genres of literature, so they might be useful in different ways and at different times, and some parts are maybe more universally practical than others, but all of it is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God, and that's you, someone who's trying to follow God's ways in their life, might be thoroughly equipped. Say that with me. Thoroughly equipped for every good work. Thoroughly equipped. God's word thoroughly equips us. What do you think happens when we don't have God's word in our lives? Are we thoroughly equipped? No. Why? Because it's like food. You're starving. You are hungry. And you're not, and you don't have all the instructions that you need. We need God's word in our life in order to be thoroughly equipped. All of God's word is useful in one way or another. And then you have Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 through 11. For my ways, or my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways, are your ways, my, thank you, your ways, my ways, declares the Lord. I'm going to get my reading glasses out. I appreciate you. Okay. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and sun come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purposes for which I sent it. This is one among many passages that reminds us that God's word is incredibly powerful. I mean, the Bible opens up with a story of God creating the world, and every time he is creating, he speaks. He speaks, and God said. God's word literally makes worlds. And if you think about it, the words that we bring into our lives, they create worlds as well. If your life is filled with godly, wise words, your life will become increasingly godly and wise. You ever notice if you hang out with people with like they got like sailor tongue? And they, you know, or you're listening to shows and they're just cussing all the time. And I know sometimes that's really common. And I'm not to say that cussing is always, I don't want to look down on people who cuss a lot. But here's what I noticed for me, and this is probably true for you as well. If you're around someone who's dropping F-bombs all the time, pretty soon in your mind that language becomes normal, right? We just pick up the words we consume become the words that flow out of us. Words create worlds. They create worlds. And God's word is incredibly powerful. So the more we have God's word in our life, the more we will have a godly worldview with life. Lord, create your world's inside of me. Help me to see the world through your eyes. That's why we need, among many reasons, why we need God's word. It is incredibly powerful. So here's a couple little ideas. Getting into God's word, if you struggle with it at all. First one is this, is if you're reading the Bible for the first time, start with the Gospels. So if you've got a paper Bible, see, it's going to be just over about the two-thirds mark. See if you can find Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Or if you're using a digital Bible on your phone or your tablet, look for Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Those are the stories of Jesus, where when Jesus was alive and Jesus was teaching, it tells the whole story of Jesus's life. And why that becomes so important for us is that Jesus really is the key to everything. He's the key for us making sense of life, and he is ultimately the key for us making good sense of Scripture. Because all of the Old Testament ultimately points to Jesus, whether that's in, wow, this is a big train wreck, they really need help, it all points to Jesus. Or all of the prophecies in the Old Testament of God will be sending a Savior, this messianic king, that someday somebody will come to rescue the Israelites and ultimately all humanity from the mess we have got ourselves in. All of the Old Testament points to Jesus, and all of the New Testament either tells stories about Jesus or ultimately refers back to Jesus as it looks at the early church and how they are navigating what it means to live as Christ followers in a Greco-Roman culture, or the book of Revelation that looks at what will happen in the future to those who are following Christ. So get to know Jesus. He's the key to everything. I've used this illustration before, but it's still helpful. If you're trying to solve a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle, every one of those puzzle pieces is valid and helpful, just like the all Scripture is God-breathed. But you're going to have a really hard time putting that 1,000-piece puzzle together without the box. You want to see the picture of what these puzzle pieces actually lead to before you're going to have much hope of putting the pieces together accurately and well. Jesus is the box. He is the clearest picture of who God is because he is God. What does God think about? Fill in the blank. Well, we ask, what did Jesus say about this? How did Jesus respond to this? What was Jesus' attitude about this? Jesus is the key to everything. So we start with the Gospels. We start with the Gospels. Okay, second thing is, as you're reading, realize that the Holy Spirit is reading with you. So there'll be words that kind of catch your attention on any given day. Lean into that. Lord, are you trying to tell me something with that? Just trust that God is wanting to reveal himself through the word to you. So, yeah, what catches your attention? What bothers you? Like anything that you go, oh, I'm noticing this. Look for God there. God's probably has something to say to you through his word in that part of Scripture on that particular day. That's why, and if you've read through the Bible, who here has read through the Bible several times? Okay, some hands going up, that's cool. Okay, every single time you read through a passage or the Bible even as a whole, you'll notice new things. And that's not because it's changed. It's because your situation has changed and God is present with you as you are reading it. So you've got the tour guide on your shoulder. The Holy Spirit is pointing out new things each time you visit. So there's always new things to be discovered in God's word. Notice it. Look for that. Another thing that can be really helpful is look for the larger story. Now, this comes after we've read the Gospels, but when we see the entire arc of Scripture, of how God worked through the Israelites and the larger trends. And that's where studies like, some of you are in the Bible Recap group with Donna this year. I see some hands going up on that. Super good stuff. It helps us to see the larger story. I'm doing a Bible in a year plan on YouVersion with a Bible project. I highly recommend that. I think that's a very, very good resource because it helps us to see for any passage where it fits in the larger story of God's work. That's just really helpful. Because when we're reading the Bible, we're reading a really, really big book. It's a little bit like you sit down with a friend to watch their favorite movie and they start at 45 minutes in and then you watch a 5-minute clip. Like, your buddy's nerding out, Luke, I am your father. He's like, that's amazing. You're like, I don't get it. Like the guy in the dark suit with the what? Why is he doing that? But we need to see the larger arc of the story to understand what's happening in any given moment. So that's really helpful. Here's the other thing that can be helpful is when you're trying to read God's word, there's going to be spiritual battles happening around you. I mean, the devil does not want you to be in the word of God. So there's all sorts of little distractions. Here's one I found really helpful. Who here likes to, confession. Who here in the morning, you are tempted, one of the first things you do, maybe before or even just after your cup of coffee, is you look at your smartphone? Right. These lovely little devices can do some pretty cool things, and many of the apps on them, all the cool stuff, in YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, some of you are on X, I know that because you're angry all the time, you know, but if you're, well, all of those things have really smart people who are helping those apps to become super addictive. So if you've ever had that thing where you're on Facebook because you wanted to see what's happening with your friend's birthday party, and then 25 minutes later, you're like, how did I get into these reels? And you just kind of look up for a bit. What just happened to 25 minutes of my life? Confession? You ever been there? Okay. Somewhere in a big building is an app developer that just got a big bonus because they managed to make the app more addictive. That's how the world works. We are the product. But here's something that can help a little bit. There's a screenshot. This screenshot of my phone, actually. Put the Bible app on the top level. Hide all the other garbage further down. So that when you do, open up your little, you know, phone device, that if you're serious about being in the Bible, that it's right there. It reminds you. So feel free to put Facebook as many levels down as you need to, and bring the Bible up as many levels as you, top level. If you're going to use this crazy stuff, and there is value in technology, but hack your own system. Like, know that the wrong stuff is going to distract you. So don't put the stuff that you know is going to be this time suck and this attention suck. Don't put those things top level. Okay, that's helped me. So maybe that's going to help you. So number one, we're trying to get connected to God's word. Number two is connection involves God's people. Getting connected to other people we can do life with. Like Book of Hebrews puts it this way. Let us consider, Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, how we might spur. If you're sitting next to somebody, kind of tap them on the shoulder or give them a little poke. That's spurring. Spur someone. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah, you don't know them. Don't do that. Okay. Spur one another on towards love and good deeds. We're just kind of helping each other out. You can do it, buddy. You can do it. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I know this is true about you because it's true about me. Every single brave thing you ever did in life had an accomplice. There was someone that helped you find the courage to do that brave thing that you weren't certain you could do on your own. And by the way, every truly dumb thing you did in life probably also had an accomplice. So choose the right accomplices. Right? We can help one another. We need community. We need community. We are the body of Christ. Each one of us is a part of it. But just like a severed body part is amazing, but gross, a severed body part cannot do very much on its own. It needs to be connected back to the body. right. We thrive in community. We suffer in isolation. So we need to spur one another on. Now, so we need encouragement. We need support. We need to be able to learn from one another. Now, if you're maybe feeling a little isolated, I want to point out a couple of these connection group options for you. So we've got some groups that all they're trying to do is have some fun together, like Anne. Pickleball, right? She brought her pickleball paddle into worship. Wow, that is next level. Praying for you, Mark. Praying for you. All right. Okay. So that was next level. But if you like pickleball, want to like pickleball, wonder what pickleball is, that's great. Some of you may be a little hesitant about joining like a formal Bible study right away, but you're a guy and you could imagine going to a ball game, or you could imagine going axe throwing. Kevin's your man, right there. Like, just find a guy. These are guys, like, they're not even going to make you attend everything. You're just going to get on a list where a bunch of guys go, hey, we're going to go do something cool. Do you want to come? That helps to break the isolation. We've got a senior singles group. So if you're a senior and you're single, they do dinners together. They go to movies together. They go to musicals. They do cool stuff. You can break the isolation. It's fantastic. There's a women's fellowship group that gets together on Saturday mornings and they eat. And more stuff. I haven't been to one of these, but I know they are fantastic. And all I'm saying is you can find community. You can find community. And there's going to be others that are more specialized, like ALETS group. We're looking at like anxiety. You can help one another out. You got like John and Mark's group that's going deep into the spiritual disciplines. You can feed your brain. There are Loretta's group. There are so many great groups to grow. I know I'm plugging this stuff pretty hard, but the cure. And you know, if you struggle again with that internal dialogue and you just have a hard time thinking, like understanding God's grace for you, talk to Jim. We can break the isolation, we can grow, we need one another. Now, here's one of the hard parts about community. Now, I'm going to bring up a Bible verse that you've probably seen on a wall because it just seems like so inspiring. So Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Who's heard this verse before? Yeah. It sounds great, doesn't it? Because it sounds all military and we're like swords and we're sharpening our swords and it's awesome because it's, you know, iron and iron, and it's great. Except for, like, think about what that actually means in real life. So it uses the metaphor of iron is sharpening iron because it's coming in contact with one another, and sparks are flying. Relationally, what does that mean? See, there are people that God has strategically placed in your life who are annoying. And when you interact with them, you see sparks. And you know that time? No, don't point. Just serious. Just look at me. Just eyes up here. Up here, people. Okay, now. So, no, eyes up here. Eyes up here. You know, we're not blaming anybody. Okay, but there are times there are sparks because you know how you prayed, God, would you give me patience? Mm-hmm. And you say, God, why do you answer those prayers and other ones that are like really frustrated? But that's how we grow, is by irritating one another and figuring out how to put up with other people's flaws and they're starting to point ours out, and we don't like that very much, and that's how we grow. Ah, see, that's one of the reasons why we avoid community. Even though it's actually in our best interest. Because real community is hard. Now, just hear me carefully. I'm not talking about an abusive situation. There are situations where it is appropriate to set up like boundaries. And it might be good if you're wondering about whether somebody is just, you know, maybe requires more grace, or this is someone that I actually need to put some safe boundaries up. Talk to a third party, maybe a Christian counselor or a pastor or somebody, just to discern through that. God's not calling you to be in an abusive situation. But it's sometimes helpful to think about when we're in a group of people and there's some folks that are just kind of annoying, they kind of get under our skin, of going, okay, God, is this something that you're trying to do, to grow in me? Are you teaching me how to be more loving and gracious? Is this someone you're actually using to reveal something about me that I didn't want to deal with? It's another reason why we need Christian community. Colossians in chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, and we'll finish with this, is it's saying basically the same thing. It's just saying it in a nicer way. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, that's who you are, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other. Bear with each other. And forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. So that's how we grow. People make us mad, and we work through it. Yay. So there's all these reasons, just like there's spiritual distractions to keep you out of God's word, and you tell yourself you're too busy or you'll get around to it next week, and even though it's the very thing we need the most, like it's our primary way, it's our most dependable way of connecting with God through God's word. We tend to avoid Christian community because honestly, there's some parts about it that are difficult. That kind of honesty, transparency, you feel vulnerable, it's icky, you don't like it. And you have to deal with annoying people. And that is God's means for maturing us. Working through the sparks. So, just as we close, just want you to think about, so of those two, Of the two aspects of the habits of connection, which are the one of the two is the one that God's most calling you to grow in this next season, maybe our next 5 weeks together? Maybe you could start a YouVersion plan, or pick up the book of Matthew and just start reading. Just get to know Jesus. Something, some step. What is God inviting you into with growing in God's word? Or maybe that's an area that's pretty solid for you, and that's fantastic. How are you doing with community? Ooh, that's nice. With just having people in your life that you can relate to. Has God given you the gift of an annoying person in your life that can deepen your capacity to love and show patience and grace? Or maybe you don't yet have like a connection group. You don't have a posse. Like we love to talk about like those 2 a.m. friendships. You know, people that you know well enough that when you're going through something tough, you can actually like call them up and say, hey, I need some help. And they're already dialed into your life enough that they go, all right, I'm on it. We long for you to have those kinds of connections in life. However you get there, whatever exactly that looks like. What is God inviting you into today? So just invite us for a moment, just to bow our heads, close our eyes, and just listen to God. Holy Spirit, you are here. You're working in this room right now. Lord, show each one of us what that next step for each one of us might be. Lord, thank you for your word that's like food for us, where every part of it, in one way or another, is useful to us. Lord, help us to be people of the word. Lord, thanks for community that grows and deepens character, even the annoying parts of community. Lord, show each one of us what a step forward with community would look like. And now, friends, I'm just going to be quiet for a moment and just allow you and the Lord just to talk about it and just see how he leads you.